From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. The nation's third largest school district has come to a standstill as 25,000 teachers in Chicago, Illinois began a strike on Thursday demanding better wages and more school support staff. The Chicago Teachers Union has organized picket lines and marches throughout this week, and here are the sounds from one of those picket lines. About 300,000 children are out of school. The strike is a major test for Chicago's recently elected mayor, Lori Lightfoot, who says the district simply cannot afford to meet the teachers' demands. There have been a wave of teacher strikes around the U.S. over the past few years, unifying their struggle under their slogan, Red for Ed, as picketing educators don red clothing together in solidarity. We turn now to Kevin Kumashiro, the former dean of the School of Education at the University of San Francisco. He's a leading expert on educational policy, school reform, teacher preparation, and educational equity and social justice. He also is the education correspondent for our program. Welcome back to the show, Kevin.
Thanks for having me, Sonali.
So before we put the Chicago strike into a national context, let's discuss their specific issues. You are actually the co-founder of CREATE, the Chicagoland Researchers and Advocates for Transformative Education. So you know, you taught there, you know that landscape well. What are the main concerns that the Chicago Teachers Union say they are striking around?
Yeah, it feels a little bit like deja vu. I was living in Chicago when the 2012 strike was happening. And, you know, the 2000 strike, of course, set the stage for a lot of other events, as you were saying. And what we're hearing is an echoing of the union's call, or the union's demand, really, that the school district invest a lot more in improving the learning conditions of students. So there's really three big demands right now that are stalling the negotiations. And one, of course, is compensation. Schools greatly underfunded, the teachers need to be paid more. We know that is a problem throughout the country. There's two more things that they're pushing for, though. One is that the school district increase the essential support staff like nursing and social workers and counselors, librarians, you know, things that we know impact directly the ability of students to learn as well as the ability of teachers to teach. And then a third category of demands has to do with class sizes. That's, Chicago has like enormous sized classes, especially in the poorer of schools. And what's challenging is that according to state law, the district does not have to negotiate on staffing levels or on class sizes. The union cannot technically go on strike for those reasons. But the union is still saying that those issues impact their ability to teach. It's interconnected with the larger demand of increasing the investment in public schools. And that's why it's kind of bundled together in this latest round of negotiations.
One of the things that the teachers also want are restorative justice counselors at all schools. What exactly is that?
You know, this has to do with this unfortunate reality that at the time that the city is saying they don't have the resources to invest in other kinds of personnel, they are actually investing in ratcheting up the policing of schools. And so what the union is trying to say is, look, there's not really any compelling body of research that says that schools get safer, students are better off when we increase policing. What actually has lots of research to back it up is that when we try to resolve violence, when we try to resolve interpersonal conflict, it's restorative justice practices. It's practices that actually try to mend relationships, that try to build up social emotional health, wellness, that try to strengthen the foundations of community formation in schools. It's those kinds of practices, right, that really allow us to interact with people in a much more healthy way, that are better than punitive policing disciplinary practices that actually can have the counter effect of increasing in many ways the kind of instability of school climate. And so I think that's another really important reframing, right? The Chicago Teachers Union is trying to say, look, let's understand differently what the problems are and what research says are better solutions.
Now, AFT head, American Federation of Teachers head, Randy Weingarten also visited the teachers in Chicago during their strike on the first day of their strike. And while she was on the picket line, one of the things she said, I was watching a short video of her, one of the things she said was, this is about priorities. So let's talk about what justification Mayor Lori Lightfoot, the city's first Black female mayor, and, you know, really on the liberal side of the political spectrum, what has her response been? How does she justify not being able to meet the teachers' demands?
Yeah, Lightfoot has come out saying that, quote, she's bent over backwards, or the city, I should say, has bent over backwards to try to meet the demands, that the union keeps maybe changing some of its demands or asking for more. And I think what the union is trying to, the union's response has been that A, education needs to be a top priority. And so, yeah, you may say that the budget right now is really tight, but let's look at the larger budget. It's sort of the same thing we would say about the nation, right? The nation says, oh, it doesn't have, you know, the funding to provide better healthcare or to provide better education. But let's look overall and see, where is the money going right now? We can see, for example, millions of dollars being spent on ratcheting up playgrounds in the more wealthy parts of Chicago, but that same amount of money can make an enormous difference in the most struggling of neighborhoods in Chicago for things like schools, for things like wellness and health and so on. So I think that's part of what the Chicago Teachers Union is trying to say, is let's not limit ourselves to the narrow conversations about how we better allocate the education budget. What we actually need to be doing is looking sort of citywide. How is the city thinking about all the ways it's using its money? And is it investing in the areas that will have the most impact, particularly for the groups that struggle the most?
One of the issues that has come up is the so-called TIF funds, tax increment financing. What exactly is that? And where does the union versus the city stand on that?
Yeah, so TIF, tax increment funding, actually is something that came up years ago, like, you know, maybe almost a decade ago, as a way to kind of think about how we differently allocate tax funding. And what the research was, well, so what the rhetoric was that this was a way to try to really target high needs areas. It was a way to differently allocate funding so that we can reflect our priorities. We can meet the sort of citywide needs, but we can also meet targeted needs, right? We can be much more strategic in how we use tax funding. That was the rhetoric. But the reality that we saw, even when I was living there, so this was maybe 7 or 8 years ago, what we saw is that a lot of the TIF funding was going for things like gentrification. It was fueling gentrification. It was going to maybe better neighborhoods to try to drive, higher, the increasing of property values and things like that. In other words, what we were not seeing was that TIF funding was going towards the neighborhoods that needed it the most, even though that was actually the rhetoric behind TIF. And so I think when we talk about priorities, while that's not directly funding the city schools, what we would say is that that's a parallel conversation that shows that the city doesn't always put its money where its mouth is. If its rhetoric is around sort of addressing inequities, then how you allocate funding, whether it's specifically on education or on this broader tax redistribution initiative, it needs to actually go to where the money is most needed. And that's not what we're seeing right now.
The city has made an effort to prevent teachers from striking, partly because, of course, Chicago teachers have a history of militancy and, you know, actually calling the city's bluff with their past strikes. And Mayor Lightfoot has claimed that the union just won't put their demands into writing to her directly. What is the political dynamic that's going on there?
Yeah, I think labor overall has seen, nationwide, but even in Illinois, has seen sort of this increasing encroachment on its ability to engage in collective bargaining. So Illinois, for example, recently passed this law that said, you cannot go on strike unless you have, I think it was 75% of voting members saying that they want to go on strike. And so Chicago, of course, blew that out of the water with its 90%+ membership saying that they wanted to go on strike. But, you know, it also goes to things like what can you strike over? And so state law says, well, you can strike over compensation, but you can't strike over things that are not directly about compensation, like class sizes. Well, class sizes may not be directly about compensation, but it has so much to do with quality of work. And let's look historically at how unions, what were they fighting for? They were fighting over the quality of your workspace, your ability to be productive, your ability to be safe. It wasn't just compensation. Unions were fighting over what the work was about and what the quality of life related to that work was about. And so that's what we see sort of the encroachment on in law, is limiting the ability of labor to really fight for working conditions. And that is obviously impacting this struggle as well.
I want to play a video that was created by the Chicago Teachers Union profiling one teacher, because it's, you know, one thing to talk about these issues in theoretical terms. It's another thing to actually see how the status quo impacts a person who is, you know, educating our children and who plays such a critical role in our society. Here is a short video created by Chicago Teachers Union ahead of their strike that began on Thursday.
My name is Samantha Williams, and I was born and raised in the city of Chicago. I work at Oglesby Elementary School. I've been with Chicago Public Schools for 8 steady years now. I put in, it's about 80 hours a week. I'm a single parent, single household. It does not make sense to be a teacher in the city of Chicago. I'm playing catch up on all of my bills. I was unable to pay the gas bill. They cut me off on Thursday. Last night it dropped down to about 36 degrees. I'm behind in my rent. They did serve me with a 5-day notice. I'm packing up because I can no longer afford to stay where I'm at. My ways of trying to make some extra money is I was driving Uber and Lyft. I need to make some extra money. At work, I do not get enough support. There is no way a special ed teacher should have as many students as I have in my room with no assistant. You can't get any teaching done in those large class sizes. I actually spend money on my class. Over the years, I've purchased school supplies. I've actually purchased clothes for kids. We're fighting to make things better for our children. Our children are the future. Our children need to have access to a nurse. Our children need to have access to a social worker. Our children need to have access to a librarian, a school counselor. This is our only weapon. Sitting down at the table talking, they don't listen. You promised to give us more workers. You promised to reduce class sizes. We need you to put those promises in writing so that we will believe that you'll keep your word.
And that is a short video of a special education teacher in Chicago telling her story. It was produced by the Chicago Teachers Union. This particular teacher couldn't afford her gas bill. She was working 80 hours a week. She pays for school supplies and sometimes even clothing for children out of her own pocket, and had to resort to driving for Uber in order to make ends meet. Kevin, these sorts of stories are, of course, unfortunately relatable by teachers all over the country, right? Unfortunately, Chicago is not that different from many school districts in the U.S. today.
All over the country is so accurately phrasing and framing what's going on here. In fact, isn't that what we were hearing last spring when teachers in all these red states, all these right-to-work states, were engaging in these walkouts? wildcat strikes, right, protesting the underfunding of education. And one of the big, maybe the big story by these teachers is how many of them had to work in other jobs, how many of them had to pay out of pocket to provide supplies and other needs of their students.
And I just want to add our own Los Angeles teachers. We're here in the Los Angeles area, and teachers in LA in January were part of that very same strike movement around the country as well, and bravely went on strike for several weeks.
Yes, pointing out the exact same thing, right? Underfunding. And one of the things that I would note is what's unique about the strike in Chicago is that it's coinciding with a second union. So on Thursday, when the Chicago Teachers Union went on strike, 25,000 employees, we also began a strike of the SEIU Local 73, so another union of other support staff in schools. And that was about 7,500 employees. And that would include things like classroom aides and bus drivers and custodians. And, you know, so you have a lot of people going on strike and all sort of making a very parallel demand that the underfunding of schools has meant that many of these folks do not have salaries and wages that are livable, that they're working additional jobs, they can't make ends meet. Schools need to better support and value the people who are working with our youngest children.
So the teachers say that they're going to continue picketing every day. They start their pickets at 6:30 in the morning. We're talking about the third largest school district in the nation. I believe New York is the largest, LA is the second largest. How long can they keep this up? This strike impacts 300,000 children. And as we've seen in other striking districts and other at other times, parents are bringing their children to the picket line because they see that the teachers are striking for the well-being of their kids, right?
Parents and community members joining the pickets. There was a third union that was supposed to go on strike, which is the park workers, who are not on strike. They resolved things on right before the strike was to begin, but a lot of them are walking in solidarity on the picket lines. Yeah, what happens with the 300,000 children and students is really, I think, gonna drive the negotiations much harder, right? How do you look after this many people? I believe that this year, unlike years past, the school district has said that a lot of the schools are gonna stay open with kind of almost like a childcare kind of services so that children have a place to go. Last time we knew that the park service was also running all these programs so that children and youth had places to go. But yeah, I think figuring out how we not lose instructional time, figuring out how at the same time we stand in solidarity with the teachers and staff is this really important balancing act for both the city and our communities.
So Chicago teachers, the organization that you mentioned earlier, CREATE, which is the organization that you helped to co-found in the Chicago area, has, I understand, put out a statement calling on people to sign in solidarity. What sort of solidarity is there, from those who are even sort of outside the school district?
Yeah, so the organization CREATE, this is a group of Chicago scholars that formed back in 2011, has issued this statement that basically says, look, the research actually backs up what the union is saying the city needs to invest in, right? Fairly compensating its people, adequately staffing, shrinking the sizes of classes, all of those things, restorative justice practices. And what we're trying to, and the group also issued an op-ed in the Chicago Tribune last week making similar kinds of points that basically the research is backing up what the union is calling for. These aren't greedy demands, these are actually research-based demands. And so we've issued this statement that came out on Thursday, the first day of the strike, and other scholars in Chicago are able to join in, sign on, add their names. I think people outside of Chicago, people who are not identifying as educational researchers, are invited to kind of take up the statement, take up the op-ed, take up some of these sort of solidarity statements by groups outside of the union and use it as talking points to drive the conversation around, you know, dinner tables, water stations, whatever, all over. I mean, I think this is part of what the intervention of that scholar network is trying to make, is to say, look, let's inject what the research says in our day-to-day conversations in the communities. The more people who understand the complexity of the issues, and the more people who understand what the research tells us, I think the more elevated the conversation becomes, and the more likely we are as a collective, as a society, to come up with better ways of using our money and better ways of improving public schools.
Speaking of improving public schools, I'm wondering if you can talk about some of the kinds of programs that are available for teachers and, you know, for teachers to do their work. There was an article in the Washington Post just earlier this week included a statement put out by hundreds of deans, education deans and others, saying that teacher prep programs in this country are not working well enough, and in some cases are also making things worse. Can you comment on that?
Yeah, so the Washington Post just ran a story about a statement that was released by over 350 deans and other leaders from colleges of education across the country. And what these leaders, so this is a put out by another network that I'm a part of and helped to form. It's called Education Deans for Justice and Equity. And so this is a network of deans across the country, current and former deans across the country. And what we wanted to do was issue a statement that basically said, teacher preparation programs do need to be stronger. They do need to be improved. But the problem is that a lot of the major reform initiatives underway right now to try to improve colleges of education are actually making the programs worse. It's making it harder for schools of education to prepare really high quality teachers. It's preventing, for example, a more diverse pipeline into the teaching profession. It's weeding out more people of color, but it's also preventing programs from being able to prepare students to address the challenges that lie ahead of us, a lot of the inequities, a lot of the injustices in schools. And so what the network is trying to do, what the statement does by the 350 leaders, is it says, let's look a little bit more carefully at these reforms. And just really briefly, what I want to highlight is that the problem with, we look at seven different trends across the country to improve how we prepare teachers. And common across all of these trends is this reliance on kind of a market-based way of improving things, you know, just fueling competition, just shaming people to try to work harder. And it's over-focused, it's overly focused on individual output and individual performance. In other words, it buys into the blame the victim kind of narratives rather than fixing systemically what's going on. And this is very similar. It should sound similar to those of us who are looking at the Chicago teacher strike. Chicago teachers are not simply saying, let's tweak individual schools, let's only better compensate teachers. What they're actually saying is we need to fix the larger system. The system is broken. And unless we can attack the larger problems, we're never going to actually be able to improve education. It's same with how we prepare teachers. We need to look systemically at the problems, not simply tinker with little problems here and there.
Well, Kevin, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Appreciate your insight and analysis on this story.
Thanks so much for having me.
Kevin Kumashiro is a former dean of the School of Education at the University of San Francisco. He's a leading expert on educational policy, school reform, teacher prep, and educational equity. And he's our education correspondent for Rising Up. We've been discussing the Chicago teacher strike that just began. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, subscribe to our video channel on Vimeo, and find our audio podcast on iTunes and now Spotify.